Today, I want to talk about something that sounds simple, but maybe one of the hardest spiritual practices we will ever undertake. Mindfulness. The ability to sit with ordinariness. Please pay attention to the word ordinariness, being ordinary, you and I being ordinary. Because everyone wants to be extraordinary. None of us want to just be who we are. Nobody talks enough about the hardest part of mindfulness. Because they just say, oh, mindfulness. It is not quieting the mind. The mind may never become completely quiet. We've all been there, and we still go through it. The hardest part is sitting still long enough to meet the version of yourself and myself that you've been running away from. And as I go on, you will see why I said that. That is the challenge in it, to sit long enough to meet the version of yourself that you have been running away from. You and I, we have been outrunning ourselves with busyness. We know how to get busyness. We are running ourselves with noise. We put our headphones on, we want to hear music and all of that. At running ourselves with work, with your phone, with entertainment, with productivity, and sometimes with other people's problems. Because if we are busy solving everybody else's problems, we don't have to sit quietly with our own. That's why we cannot wait. If Trump, our president, says something, oh, the whole thing gets on fire. As if some of what he's doing or said, we have not even done it to ourselves. And then one day, we sit down, we become still. And there we are, just us, no distractions. In 2014, psychologist Timothy Wilson at the University of Virginia ran a series of studies. And this young man talked about. So this is his voice. This is what he said. That series of studies still stops me cold every time I think about them. He put people in a plain room, nothing there, just a plain room, with nothing to do but think for 6 to 15 minutes. No phone, no book, just themselves and their thoughts. Most people didn't enjoy it. About half rated the experience at or below the midpoint for enjoyment. But then Wilson took the experiment further. He left participants alone in a room where they could press a button and give themselves a mild electric shock. Even though every participant had previously said they would pay money to avoid being shocked, you know, 67% of the men and 25% of the women shocked themselves rather than sit quietly with their own thoughts. One man pressed the button 190 times. And Wilson, the psychologist, said the untutored mind does not like to be alone with itself. So imagine one day you sit down, you become still, and there you are. Just you, no distractions, no performance, no one to impress, no problem to solve, just breathing. And suddenly, we discover that the silence isn't empty. The silence is full. It is full of thoughts, feelings, memories, anxiety, grief, questions, things we have avoided. Why do you think these scriptures, the Bible say, be still and know that I am God? Why do they say, Selah? Because when you are still, you will find yourself. Things that you're running away from, either by drinking coffee or by going for a walk or by eating ice cream or whatever you do to, guess what? You will find it. You will be waiting. Things we have postponed, things we have been too busy to hear. There's a beautiful insight into the young man I talked about. His name is Lachlan Brown. And he described, you know, his learning meditation, mindfulness, practicing mindfulness. He said that the first time he tried to meditate seriously, he lasted about 4 minutes before getting up to check his phone. He thought he was doing it wrong. Maybe he needed a better technique, a better meditation app, a better cushion, a better time of day. But eventually he realized something profound. The restlessness wasn't the obstacle. The restlessness was the point. I don't know if any of you do this. Even if I get up, let's say I'm sleeping, I get up to go and ease myself. What's the first thing I go look? My phone to see what time is it? Or somebody had left me a message or what the temperature is. To think within, before this, the iPhones and all of that, didn't we exist? Didn't we have something else to do with our life? I mean, it's fun, isn't it? Then you wonder why they sued Meta for getting those young ones, you know, keep scrolling. We are talking grown-ups now. People who are in their last leg or second last leg of the, they get up and the first thing they reach out to their phones. The restlessness is not the obstacle, it's the point. Beneath, because underneath the restlessness was something he didn't want to meet himself. When we reach out to the phones and all of that, who are we running away from? Ourselves. That's when the old days, when they don't even have electricity. There's no radio, there's no TV, forget the phones. They go to bed early. They confront themselves. You know, they might tell a story, but eventually, you know, you have to sit with yourself. The only thing you can distract yourself is maybe there's a tiger or lion out there that is ready to eat you up. The real self, not the productive self, not the successful self, not the person who was always solving something, but the tired self, the uncertain self, the anxious self, the human self. You need to meet that. We need to meet it. And isn't that true for many of us? We reach for the phone, we turn on the television, we check our email. Even the email that doesn't need to be checked, we'll check it again. We start another task. We involve ourselves in another person's problem. Anything. I see a lot of you are laughing because it is true. We all can recognize ourselves in that, isn't it? Anything to avoid sitting quietly with ourselves. But here's the spiritual lesson. Please pay attention to this expression. What we refuse to face does not disappear. It waits. And Spirit taught that very much that I remember. They say, eat it, or oh, I'm not hungry. Okay. They put it away. When you're turned to eat again, they add to it. You're going to eat your lunch. Now you're going to eat breakfast. It's not going away. It waits. And when we become quiet enough, then it speaks. We are willing to hear it. It speaks. Silence has a way of making audible something you can hear, what we have spent years trying to mute. I've always said, when they say, oh, well, it's because that person is drunk, that's why he says distance. Of course, he's been there, sitting, but then the booze, the alcohol makes, I guess that's their silence, it brings it out. This is why mindfulness is not simply relaxation. Mindfulness teaches us to observe what is happening without immediately reacting to it. Isn't that why Jesus said, if they slap you on the other side, turn the, otherwise it's going to turn to two fighting, both sides, both sides, both sides. Anxiety comes, we notice it. Anger comes, we notice it. Don't just say no. Sadness comes, we notice. Restlessness comes, we notice. We don't have to run. We don't have to suppress it. We don't have to become it. We simply stay. That's another thing that you find out. We don't want to stay, but eventually we have to stay. Because if it is our own crap, it's not going to belong to anyone else. And that is where spiritual maturity begins. From what we've read about the saints and all, we don't see them running away from their issues. Because like they said, if the sun is out there, if you can't run away from your shadow, it will show up. Unless you have spiritually developed that you don't have any more shadow. When the sun shows up, you won't see your shadow. Because there's a difference between having a thought and believing every thought. There's a difference between experiencing anger and becoming anger. There's a difference between feeling anxiety and allowing anxiety to run your life. Mindfulness creates space. And in that space, we discover freedom. Something happens. Something says something we don't like. Our first impulse is to react. Maybe some of you are better now. Thank God, Spirit has allowed me to have grown that. Because I was one of those, oh, you say something, or I'm going to even triple what I would do back in return. So something says something we don't like, our first impulse is to react. But mindfulness gives us one breath, that space, one moment, one little space between what happened and what we choose to do. People were wrong when they say pause, because that 1 second, that 1 split second might make the difference between life and death. There are people who have committed, who have murdered people, and they regretted that if they had just paused 1 second. Isn't there a young man in Texas who stabbed another young man to death? They had come for some kind of sports, something. I guess it was raining or it was hard. He went to stay in that person's tent. And they said, what are you doing here? Now imagine both of them. One is gone now. If they had been accommodated instead of, you are from a different school, you shouldn't be here, he would still be here. And if the one they said, you can't stay here, if you had to maybe explain himself or just left, he wouldn't have used the knife to take a life. That's going to stay with him for life. Now he's going to be in jail. Look at how we ruined our lives. That pause, that moment. Especially when we can see the other person as ourselves instead of reacting. That space can change your life. We move from reaction to response. It's the same thing when it's happening within us. When that thought is telling you, oh, you know, death is going to happen, this is going to happen, whatever the crazy thoughts, or you are not good enough, guess what? Pause. Don't embrace it, because that's not you. That's not what you want. That's not what God wants for you. Then why are you embracing the thought that is trying to make you do something that is not in your own favor? Then you learn to deal with it. You respond instead of embracing it. That's what we call spiritual growth. The Buddha taught mindfulness and equanimity. We've talked about this before. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us to act without becoming enslaved to the results of our actions. Jesus teaches us not to be consumed by tomorrow, but to become present to the life we're living right now. And the Taoist wisdom reminds us that we do not have to force everything. Why is it that humans, why is it that we want to be in control of everything? We don't even want things to happen naturally. If we can't control it, then we say, well, God is not listening to me, or the universe is not working with me, or whatever we equate to be higher, you know. Because we want to control. We want to control how we sleep, how we eat, the kind of air that, even the breeze, if it's bringing rain, if we don't like rain at that time, we freak out, don't we? Why is it raining? But I wanted to go out there, but now I can't do it. Trying to force everything. Different traditions, different languages, they've all said it, but underneath them is a similar invitation. Be here, be present, become still enough to see. And then comes the hardest discovery of all. Ordinariness. Remember the title? ordinariness, because that's what life is. When the busyness disappears, when the accomplishments disappear, when the titles disappear, when nobody needs you, when you are not performing, who are you? Before we answer that, let's just look what happens. God bless Dolly Parton. May her soul rest in peace. When she was there, she's an icon. Everybody recognized, oh, Dolly, 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 you know. They like her song and all of that. I like her. I like her, some of her music. But then she dies. Dying is ordinary. Everybody does it. There's nothing special about Dolly dying or Jimmy Carter or anyone who has gone before her. What's going to happen? Either they cremate them or they put them in the casket. They all said goodbye. Their relatives are not going there and say, we're going to die with you. Ordinariness. And it doesn't matter their fame and money. None of that counts. Ordinariness. So we should ask ourselves, who are you? Maybe you are simply a human being sitting on a cushion. Remember, we are meditating, breathing. And perhaps that is enough. We live in a world that constantly tells us we must become extraordinary. But mindfulness teaches something different. You don't have to be extraordinary every moment. You don't have to prove your worth every morning. You don't have to accomplish something before you are allowed to be at peace. You can simply be. And trust me, I'm learning to live that. And you will find that in the process of not busyness, ordinariness, you can hear things you normally won't. You can hear yourself. You can actually discover yourself. You can ask yourself, why was I like this? Why do I desire this? Why do I want this? For what? Whatever you desire, you want, if it comes, does that make you special? No, maybe you have enough money to travel. You won't be the first to travel. You won't be the first to eat. Eventually, all of that ends. Death comes. And Americans are notorious, from what I've heard from other places. We say we're on vacation, but we take our job and walk with us. I think the Europeans just look at us like, why are you on vacation? Because here you take your job with you. Huh? We say, oh, we have Saturday and Sunday off. Yet. I mean, why do we say we have it off? For a long time, I didn't have Saturday or Sunday off. I don't even know what's... Even till now, I still don't have Saturday and Sunday off. So, I mean, what's so special about Saturday and Sunday? We can simply be. And perhaps this is what makes ordinariness so beautiful. You and I discover I don't have to be special to be sacred. I don't have to be perfect to be worthy. I don't have to be productive to have value. I don't have to perform to belong. I can simply breathe. You know, before these what I was going to talk about today, I was actually going to use Dolly Parton's song, the one that is so world famous, that Whitney Houston did, and everybody thought Whitney, that was Whitney Houston's song. What did he say? What is the title of that song? I Will Always Love You. I'm still going to talk about that song, because when you listen to the lyrics, you can see the divine in that, teaching us. Now let me go back to the ordinariness. So how do you know whether mindfulness is working? Not because you never become angry, not because you never become anxious, not because you sit in meditation and feel peaceful every morning. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Are you becoming less reactive? Are you becoming more patient? Can you listen without immediately defending yourself? Can you experience discomfort without running? Can you be alone without needing constant stimulation? Can you allow another person to be different from you? That's one big one. Can you forgive yourself for being human? Well, if you can do all of that, you know you are growing spiritually. And that is mindfulness. That is maturity. That is spiritual growth. Because most of all, we don't like any discomfort. Any little discomfort, we want to fix it, we want to control it, we want to run away from it. As if the people have gone before us, they haven't shown us the best way. Well, maybe they have not. Maybe they did the same thing too. Well, I mean, we tried giving them a pass, only we find out, well, they were just like us. They've not matured enough, but then they kill over. But then the ones we know that, yeah, they are the lamp to our feet, like the Spirit of God is, then we know, because we see what they did. They didn't run away from the discomfort. They didn't say, God, what have you done for me lately? They took it in. Now, please listen to this. The real gift of mindfulness isn't necessarily peace, because we always think it's peace of mind. No, it isn't always calm. It isn't escape. The real gift is this, the willingness to stay in the room with yourself without reaching for the door, looking for an escape, want to run away. So today, maybe we should have done this before we went into meditation. Because say, today, sit quietly, breathe. Don't try to become extraordinary. Don't try to have some spectacular spiritual experience. Because people think that's what meditation is. Just be here. And when the restlessness comes, which we know it will until you overcome it, do what? Stay. You know how some of you pet owners, you tell your dog, stay, or you tell the cat. Well, the Spirit of God tells you, you stay. You and I, you stay. The restlessness comes, stay. Tell yourself that, stay. When the anxiety comes, tell yourself, stay. When grief comes, stay. When boredom comes, stay. And when you discover your own ordinariness, stay. Because perhaps the ordinary moment isn't an obstacle to the sacred. Perhaps the ordinary moment is where the sacred has been waiting for you all along. Because sometimes we miss the boat, don't we? And then we find that, we actually need not to quote unquote meditate or do this. And I can speak from my own personal experience. There are things I experienced and I wasn't meditating. I was just being ordinary. And then the Spirit of God shows up like, The ordinary moment is where the sacred has been waiting for you all along. May your mind become still enough to see clearly. May our hearts become courageous enough to feel deeply. Does that sound like the song we've been doing before? See clearly, love. May our spirit become spacious enough to embrace what arises. And may we discover that the way home was never somewhere else. It was here. It is here. And it has always been here in that ordinariness. May our soul, our spirit, our life, and our mind be blessed with the awareness of that oneness of all there is in the ordinariness of life. Amen.